Genesis chapter number 39, if you find your place there with me, please. Genesis chapter 39, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. The Lord has brought to my heart, brought to my mind this week, and I want to revisit and consider some truth from it as we study God's Word here this evening. If you know anything about Genesis 39, then you have a pretty good basic idea of what's happening in the Scripture here. Genesis chapter 25, 26, and 27, and straight on down, we're introduced for the first time, really, to this young man by the name of Joseph. Two men in the Bible, God has nothing bad to say about. Joseph being one of them, Daniel being the other. If you want to learn how to be a Christian, if you want to learn how to live a life that pleases God, you study the life of Joseph. You look at what he did. You look at how he conducted himself. You look at how he handled himself in the most difficult circumstances of life, and you'll learn how to be a Christian, a productive believer. Many of you know the story, don't you, of how Joseph's brethren, they were out and they were working in the family business in the fields and with the flocks and the animals and all such things. And Daddy Jacob had sent Joseph out to go and find them and his brothers. Chapter 37, his brothers saw him coming from a great distance off. And when they saw him, there was such jealousy there because of how much that his father loved Joseph. We know how that he loved him so much, he gave him a coat of many colors. He expressed that love to him. There's a great deal of jealousy that was involved. And Joseph, of course, was a dreamer, wasn't he? We talked to you many years ago about that thought of having some big dreams for God. Joseph had that. Joseph was a dreamer. His dreams, of course, they came true. The brothers, they just didn't know how to handle that. And there was just a constant state of jealousy. Family drama. Anybody here know anything about family drama? It happens, doesn't it? Sure it does. Boy, this whole family, this was a messed up crowd. When you really study it, you really see what was going on. Of course, you know what happened. They stripped him of his coat. They dipped it in blood, threw him in a animal blood. They threw him in a cave, a pit, took the coat back, told Dad, Joseph is dead. An animal got him. And the Midianites came and they sold him on. And he went into Egypt, was sold into the house of Potiphar, wasn't he? And he was there. And God blessed Joseph during that time. And you know the story of how Potiphar's wife very aggressively came and try to entice, seduce this young man of God. And Joseph quickly ran. As she grabbed his coat, he said, I don't want any part of that. I'm not even going to give the devil a chance to tempt me any further. He took off and he ran, thus tearing the coat, leaving it in the hands, his garment in the hands of Potiphar's wife. And as you come toward the end or the middle part of chapter 39, you find Potiphar's wife making her accusations to her husband Potiphar, of course, one of the chief military minds and leaders of all of Egypt. And she makes this accusation that Joseph tried to take advantage of her. And as you come into the latter part of the chapter, you see that Potiphar hit the roof. He believed her, didn't he? And therefore, out of anger, haste of the moment, no matter how good Joseph had been, how much that the house, the home of Potiphar had been blessed as a result, Potiphar took Joseph, cast him into prison. And that's where we pick ourselves up as you open your Bible and you stand to your feet with me, please. In chapter 39, look in verse number 20. And that's where I want us to pick it up on this Wednesday night. The Bible says right here, and Joseph's master, that is Potiphar, took Joseph. Put Joseph into the prison. Look at this, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, verse 21. It's okay because the Lord was with Joseph. He showed him mercy. Now, I want you to hold on to that phrase, if you would. The Lord was with him. He showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he, that is Joseph, was the doer of it. He was the overseer of it. Now look at verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under Joseph's hand. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph. And that which Joseph did, the Lord made it to prosper. What a glorious passage of Scripture and a few verses. For a little while this evening, I want to speak to you on this thought, drawing your attention back again to verse number 21 and look at it again in verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Let me speak to you for a little while on this thought. Mercy, mercy. Oh, so much mercy. Mercy, mercy, so much mercy. Father, I'm so thankful for the privilege that we have to be in your house. Take these simple truths that you have placed upon my heart on this Wednesday night, and may I develop them and convey them and lay them on the hearts of these thy people the way that you have laid them upon mine. Use me in this time we spend together. Encourage us tonight. Lord, make us leave here, I pray, basking in the glory of your mercy, the goodness of God in our lives just a little more. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so thankful for you standing with me. You may be seated. We look at these passages of Scripture and we see this thought without a doubt, I think. Mercy, mercy, oh, so much mercy. Now, every one of us have heard that word, mercy. Matter of fact, we've used it. My mother's father, my granddad, we called him. Granddad was a very unique man in so many ways, and he's had so many unique sayings. He called everybody fender belly. I'll let you figure that one out. And he would leave a place, and as he was getting up from a restaurant or leaving Walmart, he would say, "All right, it's time for us to blow this joint." You can't say that anymore. You'll have the SWAT team on you in a hurry. He had a lot of sayings, and some of them I probably would not be best for me to share with you here. But he had a lot of sayings, and he kept us in stitches pretty well. But there's one thing that keeps ringing back in my mind, one of the sayings of Granddad. And anytime Granddad would find himself under some form of physical distress in his body, maybe I remember him getting up out of his recliner, had bad knees, and getting up out of his recliner, and he would say this, or maybe when he was yawning and letting out his yawn, or just doing something that was taxing a little bit on his body, Granddad would say these words, "Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy." You know, most of us have made that statement from time to time before. He liked mercy. He liked talking about it. He liked other people talking about it. Granddad was a great, big, strong man. I would say he was ever bit about 300 pounds, wasn't he? And he was a tall guy, 6'3", 6'4", maybe. Just a strong man. He was a retired Navy. And he was a mechanic his whole life after his naval career. He was a strong guy. And one of the things that Granddad would do is he would set you in front of his recliner and he would give you some of the best shoulder and back massages ever. Melissa always enjoyed going to Kentucky to have a part in that. And he would give some of the best and he would do it harder and harder and harder, until you would finally have to say, "Mercy." And that's what he wanted you to do, say mercy. He used the word mercy a whole lot. He made other people use the word mercy a whole lot. I only hope that he trusted God's mercy before he died and went into eternity. Just don't know for sure. But he talked a whole lot about mercy. Come here to these verses of Scripture in the end of Genesis chapter 39, and we find this truth of mercy being emphasized to us. I wonder tonight, how many of you have found yourself in a point, in a place in your life where you just needed somebody to show you a little bit of mercy, to extend you some mercy in your life or whatever circumstance that you may have been faced with? I just told you a little bit about the story and what was really going on right here in this passage. And Joseph was a man that found himself in a spot where he needed to have some mercy extended to him. There's four simple thoughts that I want to give you. God's Word from these verses tonight. You write them down in your margin if you would like to, but let's just think about them tonight as we move forward and try to learn some things and encourage our hearts as we go out to finish the journey of this week about God's mercy. First of all, think with me about the understood person of God's mercy. Again, that is the understood person of God's mercy. You say, Brother John, what do you mean by that, the understood person of God's mercy? I'm talking about who is the mercy of God extended to? Well, the truth of the matter is God's mercy can be extended to anyone whatsoever who reaches out and takes it in salvation. The mercy of God is extended to a world. As a matter of fact, the only reason that this world has not been totally destroyed right now is because there's a bunch of lost people, hell-bound people that are out there, and God is giving opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for them to experience His mercy. This is why it's so important that you give to missions, because there's a world out there that needs God's mercy, and they need missionaries to carry that mercy and the gospel to them. This is the reason that it is so important that you are at Great Commission Day, so you're able to go out and knock on doors, places, and invite them to church, or even share God's mercy right there in their homes. And this is why you go up into holding the signs into the highways and hedges and compelling people to come into the house of God. They can hear about God's mercy. It's true that God's mercy is extended to anybody. That's absolutely the fact. But when we consider these verses right here, we are finding this man Joseph being one of the most devout men of faith, as I mentioned a moment ago, you will ever find in the Word of God. The most devout man of faith, one of which in all of the Bible, how God used this man's life and how Joseph loved God with all of his heart. And the reason for that was because the mercy that was shown to him was because of the love that he had for the Lord. God never failed Joseph. Joseph found himself in a pit. Joseph found himself abandoned by his brothers. Joseph found himself having lies told on him. Joseph found himself in a place where he was a slave. He was a servant in the house of Potiphar. He found himself in some bad situations over and over again. But you never find Joseph complaining about it. You never find Joseph whining about the circumstances of his life. Why? Because God showed him mercy every step of the way. Friend, if you're saved here today, I want you to know that the same mercy of God that this man Joseph found in his life extended to him, it is extended to you as well. I think sometimes we get the idea we see God's blessings falling on other people's lives, don't we? We see it and we wonder in our minds, why is God's blessings not more upon us the way that it is upon him or upon her? And we think about how God's mercy may shine on them a little bit more. Let me just tell you, friend, God's mercy is real in your life. If you're a Christian today, the mercy of God is available to you. Don't look at everybody else and wonder why God's mercy seems to shine more on them. It can and it will shine on you. Live a life of Joseph, a devout individual of faith, the understood person of God's mercy. But I want you to look at the Scripture with me now. And notice the second thing with me, if you would, because then there is the undeniable presence of God's mercy. The undeniable presence of God's mercy takes us into verse number 21. The Bible declares to us here, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy. Do you see that? I love those words, Brother Joel. The Lord was with Joseph. It doesn't say the Lord was watching Joseph. It doesn't say that the Lord was on the phone with Joseph. It doesn't say the Lord was emailing Joseph, maybe doing a little FaceTime with him. No. It says that the Lord God Himself was with Joseph. How many of you today can testify to the fact there have been days in your life when you have sensed the very presence of God in your life and you know without any doubt in your mind there is a burning in your heart, there's a bubbling in your soul because the presence of God is undeniable in your life. You know what that is? That's the mercy of God. Those days that you're just lonely, all of a sudden there's a presence there. That's the mercy of God. Those days that you're confused, all of a sudden there is a presence there. That is the mercy of God. And it was close to Joseph. You look at this word mercy that is given to us in the text. It says right here that the Lord was with Joseph and he showed him mercy. The word showed here is giving us the idea that it was being extended to him. In other words, it was a snapshot, I love this, of a brand new measure of mercy than Joseph had ever seen. Joseph had known the mercy of God, when his brothers had abandoned him. He saw some of God's mercy there. The Bible speaks of that. He had known the mercy of God when he was in that pit all alone. He had seen a measure of that. He had even known the mercy of God when he was sold as a slave. When he was sold again to Potiphar, he had known the mercy of God. But there was a fresh measure of God's mercy that was given to him right here in chapter 39 in verse number 21. Why is that, you may say? The reason is because his mercy is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Part of the faithfulness of God is the brand new mercy that you need today that you didn't have to have yesterday. You're going to face battles tomorrow, and you're going to need a new kind of mercy and a new kind of deliverance in your life that you didn't even need today. That's how good God is. That's how big God is. That's how much His mercy should dwell within our life. It was a new mercy. It was something brand new that He showed to him, a mercy that he had not known in the pit, the mercy he had not known in abandonment, the mercy he had not known as a Midianite slave or in Potiphar's house as a servant. He had not known it, but when he found himself in this new place in his life, he found a brand new mercy. I rejoice in the fact that no matter what this world may throw at me, no matter how much the devil's attacks may be upon me, as a born-again child of the living God, there is a brand new mercy that is given to me. The word mercy that is given to us here, it means simply kindness, pity. In other words, there was a fresh and a brand new kindness that was shown to Joseph from God. Pity than he had ever seen before. He saw something that he could not experience. He had never experienced. I tell you, I look back over the course and the path of this life God has given me. And I even look at the current position of my life. And I am amazed. I am dumbfounded at the kindness of God. It's been shown and extended to me in my life. Kindness that I didn't deserve. A new kind of kindness. A fresh kind. It's a kindness that I didn't experience when I was a boy. A kindness that I didn't experience when I was a teenager. Though there was kindness and mercy that was there as a boy and as a teenager, it was new. A kindness that I hadn't experienced when I was in business, back in our young years of marriage, and back when we were first having our children, back when we were first starting our ministry all here together. The mercy of God, the kindness of God, the pity of God, it was all there and it was all real. But I thank God that today I woke up with a fresh and a brand new kindness that I have. A brand new pity that is shown in my life. And I look back with amazement at just how good God has been to me. How kind God has been to me. Yesterday morning I was out doing my walking through the neighborhood early hours of the morning at about 6. I got out there at 6:11. I remember looking. And as I took my steps throughout the neighborhood, and as I was in that season, in that spirit of prayer during that time, I come off the cul-de-sac right there facing my house, and I looked down at my home that God had given me, and I thought about the mercy and the kindness of God that He gave me. Not an elaborate home, but it's a very nice home. I looked inside the bedrooms from a distance from both of my daughters. I looked at the windows of their rooms, and I thought about the kindness and the mercy of God. The provision of God that was present right then, and I was overwhelmed by it. Thought about the good wife God has given me, and she's been through a lot with me, and she's been faithful, and she's driven these long miles over and over for these years, and God has used her in my life. And I thought about the kindness of God, the family that He allowed me to be born into, the nation He allowed me to be born in, the people He's allowed me to know through the years and minister with, the kindness of God, the mercy of God that was shown unto me time and again in my life. And sometimes it's just overwhelming, and you cannot even fathom such goodness. It is undeniable presence when I look back at how good the blessed Lord has just been to me in my life. And it's just His mercy, His kindness, His pity shown on a life that simply did not deserve it. I didn't deserve a nice home. I didn't deserve a nice car to drive. I didn't deserve a wife and children and parents that taught me about the Lord, be born in this great nation and to live in it. I didn't deserve to be in the ministry right here. I didn't deserve any of that. God's kindness, God's mercy. Can I encourage you tonight? Don't ever forget to understand who you are as a child of God. And don't ever forget, friends, to embrace that mercy, because it is an undeniable presence in our lives. Develop it further with me. There is the undeserved person, the understood person, excuse me, of God's mercy. There's the undeniable presence of God's mercy. Think maybe for a moment about the unlimited provision of God's mercy. The unlimited provision. Look back in your Bible with me. Look back. Let's just read verse 21 again for full context. But the Lord was with Joseph. He showed him mercy. It says right here, he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison, he committed to Joseph. He committed to Joseph, saying, all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Look now in verse number 23, the keeper of the prison. He looked not to anything that was under his, that is Joseph's hand. In other words, what he's saying right here, he didn't even have to keep an eye on Joseph. Joseph was going to do it right. Joseph was not going to steal from the commissary. Joseph was going to do it right. Joseph was not going to do something underhanded and maybe let somebody have some freedoms in the prison, maybe a board game, maybe watch a movie, maybe have a little bit of some type of freedom and liberty. But they were right. No, Joseph was going to do it right. Joseph was going to make sure the cell check and the bed check was done right, make sure there was no knives or anything there that somebody could unlock their shackles with or anything. He trusted Joseph entirely. The end of the verse says, as a result of it, the Lord was with him. And the Lord caused him to what? Prosper. To prosper. We think about that undeniable presence that was with Joseph, but we see that it turns into an unlimited provision of God's mercy. You read verses 21, verse 22, and verse 23, and there is one thing that is common to them all. It's the fact that the presence of God will bring unlimited riches of God's mercy. The presence of God in your life will bring unlimited provision of God's mercy. You want to know why you and I struggle with depression? Why you and I struggle with discouragement? Why you and I struggle just simply getting up and trying to live through another day, trying to stay encouraged, trying to keep a smile on our face, trying just to press on one more time for God. You want to know why that is? Because we're not basking in the glory of God's mercy. It's not that it's not there. We're not recognizing it. We are forgetting the fact and understanding the fact that we are a child of God, the person of God's mercy. And we've come to the place where we are denying and not living in an undeniable state of the presence of God in our life. And therefore, we are not experiencing that unlimited provision. We're just not experiencing that. We're just not sensing it. I don't like the word feeling, but we're just not feeling that mercy, that kindness, that pity of God in the circumstances of our life. And everything we see in these verses is pointing to this truth that there was just unlimited mercy that was being shown to this man Joseph right here. In spite of Joseph's conditions and his circumstances that he found himself in, somehow, some way, things just kept getting better and better and better and better. You say, wait a minute, when we look at this, which we'll discover in just a minute further, when we look at this, things were not getting better. He was originally in Dad's house where he had everything, loved by the father. Went out of honoring his father to run an errand. And as a result of that, you know, they were told he was killed, thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, sold as a servant, now in Egypt, a pagan land of sin. How is things getting better? Potiphar's wife has made advances to it. Potiphar now has thrown him in the prison. How are things getting better? Follow me. You and I look at this story and we don't see it getting better. We don't. We see a downward spiral of his life. And in many cases, we don't see the mercy of God. But sometimes the mercy of God is experienced in a man's heart and in his mind. Sometimes God's mercy, nobody else can see but you. Based upon how God's presence is working in your life. Based of how the Lord is with you. How that you're walking with God. How that you're in this book. You refuse to get out of this book. How that you're on your knees. You refuse to get out. You refuse to stay out of church and lay out of church. Oh, there's some preaching I could do right here about a scare of COVID. You know, I thank God, and I hope it stays this way, that this appears to be, at this point, just a bad cold. It's what it appears to be. If you contract COVID now, and I'm praying that's the way it stays, the way it's mutated and all that kind of stuff, it appears to be a bad cold. I tell you what, we're revealing who we are, folks. And I really thought we had gotten past some of this stuff from back, a year and 2 years ago, when it was a far more serious situation. But I tell you what, the hysteria over catching a cold right now, it's telling. It's telling. Now again, let me just reiterate this fact. If you're sick and you know you're sick, oh, please stay away. We love you, but watch online. That's why we're still doing that. I look for the day we can come offline. But we can remove that excuse. But watch online. That's fine. But friend, if you're not sick, you need to be in church. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be faithful. There is an evidence here of how the Lord is not with us. And we cannot get this engrafted into the heart and into the mind of people enough. I had hoped we had gotten past some of this, but may God give us a grit in our spirit that by His grace, we're just going to stay in that book. We're going to stay on our knees. We're going to stay in the house of God. It's hard for anybody to offer any other counsel to anybody unless they're doing those three things. And I don't invest a whole lot of time in folks who aren't doing those three things first, I mean. First, that's the first steps of getting help from God. There's not much else anybody else can do until these things are taken care of. The Lord was with him, Joseph. There was a mindset that he had. And though we cannot see the mercy of God in his story right now, it looked like a downward spiral, doesn't it? Joseph saw it. Joseph walked with God. And he saw the unlimited provision of God's mercy. Time and time again, even in the circumstances that he was in, a fresh kind of mercy. And don't you imagine when that fresh mercy popped up in his life, he said, "My goodness, I've been waiting on it. Why have I been waiting on it? Because he was faithful to me in the Father's house. He was faithful to me when I was wandering in the field," chapter 37, "and a certain man guided me. He was faithful to me then. He was faithful to me when my brothers stripped me of my coat, threw me into a pit, sold me as a slave, sold again as a servant, sold or thrown now into the pit, into the prison from Potiphar's lies of his wife." I wasn't expecting anything other than God's mercy to show up here where I'm at now. Just expecting it. Don't you see it right now? He's thrown down there. Dark place. First thing I have no doubt that he thought about, "Lord, this is new for me. I just want you to know, Lord, I'm looking for your mercy. Looking for your kindness to be shown to me in a fresh way that I've never seen before. Something brand new that I'm going to experience now. And you know what, Lord? Frankly, I'm excited to be here right now because I'm going to experience something bigger and new from God than I've ever seen before in my life. There was an unlimited provision of God's mercy, God's kindness that was being given. Now listen, I, for the past 3 years, have had some challenges with our appliances. This is fresh on my heart right now. Do you hear that? Walk in the Spirit. Boy, that conversation has come up a good bit of late. We paid a lot of money for some appliances 3 years ago. And that's just a long story. One of the things she wanted was a dishwasher. I don't know why. But one of the things she wanted, and we got a refrigerator, a microwave, an oven, and a dishwasher. The first time we've ever had all matching stainless steel black appliances. The first time we've ever had new appliances, I guess, wasn't it? And they all matched for our entire family. We were excited about it. So we went and we purchased them. They look so good. We'd renovated the kitchen. Everything matched. Instead of one being gray and one being off-white and one being white, it looked good. I felt like a big shot. Everything was fine. 1 year warranty on that dishwasher. And at the 366th day, probably, shortly after, it blew up. So now for 2 years, we've had that thing sitting there, trying to replace it for the past year, trying to find something that will match the other ones. Can't find it. And so we're trying to determine what we're going to do. Anyway, the first people who sold it to us and all that kind of stuff, we decided that we were going to go back to them, and they offered us an incredible, incredible deal to just replace them all and to be able to have matching appliances again. And so we went through the process, and we bought, and God was so merciful to us, gave us a great, great price, a great, great opportunity. Of course, COVID, they're nowhere, and they're somewhere off a boat, somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, you know, on their way over here. They were going to take about a month to get here. They finally got here. They come to deliver them on Monday. And I will spare you all the details. But we've moved refrigerators in and out of that house many times, haven't we? I met one of the most unique fellas. I'm going to be as kind as I can right now that I've ever met. I have problems with delivery drivers. And I met one of the most unique guys. And I thank the Lord, Melissa came home. So she can vouch for this. I've never met anybody so cavalier, but yet so rude. I mean, so dismissive. He was on a different planet. Now, if you think about it long enough, you might get a little idea as to why he was on a different planet he appeared to be. But he said, hey, man, you know, we're not going to be able to carry this refrigerator in here because of that chandelier right there. There's no chandelier, it's just a little light that's hanging down. We're going to have to lift it up over the banister and carry it out. Like, man, nobody had ever done that before. Well, I want you to send me a text message. That's what he said. I want you to send me a text message relieving us of all liability if we damage anything. Sending you a text message for you just to be sloppy and to be able to drop whatever you want to, you know, and not only ruin my new appliances, but damage my floor and my walls and my lights. I'm not sending you a text message. Well, it's obvious that you don't trust me. And then he said this, and I don't trust you. So I think it's time you leave, man. That's exactly what he said, isn't it? It's obvious that you don't trust me, and I don't trust you. And all along, Brother Timothy, I was sitting there thinking to myself, walk in the Spirit. He puts the door back on the front of the house. They took the front door off. He puts the door back on the front of the house. I didn't tell him to. He's already disassembled my refrigerator, pulled it out, the existing one, pulled it out in the middle of the kitchen now. He's disassembled it. No doors on it. Top or bottom, doors are in the garage. Done. Food is out. We're trying to find a place to carry all of our food right now. And what to do with that? Stuff is falling out, going bad. He puts the door back on the front of the house. Tells the other boy to go down and get the refrigerator doors. He puts the doors back on the refrigerator, the old refrigerator, and he leaves. I said, "You're leaving?
There ain't nothing I can do for you, man."
I told him, I said, "We're going to have to reschedule this." But I called him by name and I said, "Here's the deal. This other boy that's with you is very kind." I said, "He's welcome on my property anytime." I looked at him and I said, "I would recommend that you don't come back to my property. Don't come back." "Okay, man, whatever." Drove off and left. So I get on the phone with Lowe's immediately. Excuse me. Don't you hate live stream? I get on the phone with the people we purchased this from. And are on hold for about 20 minutes, right? And I'm walking in the Spirit. Enjoying God's mercy. Yeah. And I finally told Melissa, I said, "Get in the car. Let's go up there. And I'm going to leave it on hold to the place where we purchased it." So we go up there. We walk in. Go back to the appliance department. They pushed us off onto somebody else. They put us on hold to talk to a manager. An hour and 37 minutes later, we finally got a manager. I held my phone up and I said, "Would you please take my call? You're still on hold with me right now." Now listen, I tell you all of that just to let you know. They came back, delivered our refrigerator today. Nicest guys. They did a tremendous job. But here's what I want to tell you. When it was all said and done, we got our brand new appliances for right at 50% off what they were supposed to cost us. 50%, nearly half price. And as I was experiencing that, and I spoke with the manager today, as I was experiencing that, and he told me what they were going to do because of all the trouble and everything that had gone on, the first thing that came to my mind, Brother Blake, was God's mercy, God's kindness. What would it have been like had I reacted the way I wanted to react? Would God have poured out His kindness had I shown myself and had my open Bible sitting on my desk? They knew who I was. What would it have been like then? God just gave us a little bit of kindness, gave us a little bit of mercy that we just didn't deserve. You see, over and over and over again, I can look back in my life and I can see where God's mercy and God's kindness has been so evident. You say, "That's no big deal." Hey, that was a big deal to us to be able to have those things replaced and hopefully soon all of them installed and running again. And God blessed us with that. I'm just trying to let you know that there is an unlimited provision of God's mercy that is out there for His people. If we'll just simply do our best to do what's right, do our best to walk with God, do our best to exemplify that to the world. There's one more glaring thing that I want you to see about this, and then we're going to be done. And we'll go. We don't only see right here that there was the understood people of God's mercy, who God's mercy is poured out to. Then there's the undeniable presence. Aren't you grateful for the presence of God? And His mercy when it is so evident, the unlimited provision. But I've alluded to this already a little bit, and I want you to get this, though. There's the unlikely place of God's mercy. Unlikely place. See, if you look back in verse number 21, and you see it here with me, the Bible says, "And Joseph's master," that is Potiphar, "took him," put him into, look at this, "the prison." Not a prison, and there were many in Israel, Egypt, but he took him and he put him in the prison. Why? It was a particular prison. Here it is. It was a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there. Joseph was there in the prison. You know what prison that was? That was the worst of the worst of the worst prisons in all of Egypt. This was the place where everybody that went against the king's command, that was an enemy to the crown, was cast. Every spy from every country that was caught waiting death row, waiting death. Executions is where they were kept.
The rapists and the murderers,
this is where they were kept.
Put it to you this way, what the society would say was the scum of the earth of their day,
Joseph was a cellmate with.
Stories upon stories underground, in the darkest dungeon that Egypt had to offer. And here was this man who'd been faithful to God. No record he'd ever done anything wrong except dream big for God, except exemplify an attitude and a testimony that told the world that I'm a man of faith. I believe God. He was once in the Father's house. He was obeying the Father. He went. And then he was rebuked and poked fun of and stripped down of his coat of many colors, dipped in blood, thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, and then as a servant again, and now had false accusations from Potiphar's wife, and he is now sitting in an unlikely place where he would ever find God's mercy. It's dark. It's a dungeon. The worst place of his world. But what did Joseph do? He got up and he looked, started to find how God was going to show him mercy. This kindness in the middle of such a horrible, horrible situation. Joseph was in that darkest dungeon of his life. But listen to me. He still found the mercy of God in that dark dungeon of his life. Friend, you may hear tonight. You may hear tonight. You may be in the darkest day of your dungeon of your life. Maybe it's with your health needs that you've got. But you need to understand that the mercy of God is still there. You may be in the darkest dungeon of your life with your family needs. But the mercy of God, it is still there. It may be with your financial life. But the mercy of God, it is still there. I mentioned it earlier. Maybe it's with the confusion of your life. But the mercy of God, it is still there. That loneliness of life. But the mercy of God, it is still there. That discouragement of life. But the mercy of God, it is still there. That depression of life. But the mercy of God, it is still there. No matter how dark, how deep, how dangerous your dungeon of life may be right now, you need to understand God's mercy. It is still there for the understood people of God's mercy, for that undeniable presence of God's mercy, that unlimited provision. They couldn't put him in a dark enough place where he couldn't still see God's mercy. They couldn't put him in a deep enough place where he still could not experience God's mercy. They couldn't put him in there long enough where God's mercy couldn't find him there. He found God's mercy. Timothy, you can come on the piano if you want to, brother, if you would. It is our mercy, you see, that calls forth God's mercy. Now hold on to that. You say, what do you mean by that? It's our mercy that calls forth God's mercy? Let me put it to you this way. A parent knows this better than anybody else. When one of our children are suffering from a severe sickness of some kind, we all know about fevers these days, don't we? Maybe they've got a bad fever. Maybe they've got a runny nose. Maybe they've got real bad congestion, a sore throat, various different aspects of aches and pains, body aches, the flu, whatever it might be. You know they're feeling bad, and I mean they are feeling bad. And all that can be done at that time is for that loving parent to reach down to that child and wrap his or her loving arms around that child who is suffering from that sickness in that moment and try their best to ease some of the pain. Wipe some of the tears of the crying of that child. How? By simply showing that child a little bit of pity. You know what that parent is doing? That mom or that dad is showing that child mercy. Now, everybody look up at me right now. I want you to get this in your heart. I don't want you to forget this. Why is that parent doing that? Why are they making such an effort to do that? It's very simple, actually. Because his misery has called forth your mercy. That child's misery has called forth that parent's mercy. Now, here's what I want you to take away from this. And what God spoke to my heart about this week. The best place to find God's mercy glaring at you like you've never seen it before is in the darkest dungeon of your life. That's the best place to see God's mercy. We can see God's blessings as we go out to our car, as we go to our home, as we eat our meal, and thank God for it. And mercy, of course, contributes to all of that. But this interior understanding of God's mercy is never fully revealed until you're in that dark, deep dungeon of your life. Why? Because your misery brings forth His mercy. So, no matter how deep your dungeon is, no matter how dark it is, no matter how miserable you are, this is where His mercy is. And they ought to be some of us tonight that just bow our knee and our head down in a place just like this and say, "Dear God, I don't understand why I'm in the dark dungeon. But I want you to know I'm looking for your mercy. I'm looking for a fresh glimpse of God's kindness that I've never known before. I accept my dungeon and my dark day of life because all you're trying to do is show me your mercy." Joseph's misery was covered up by God's mercy. Joseph never saw it. All he saw was the kindness of God. Stand to your feet.